All this week, we're considering the Endangered Species Act and its effect on the wildlife and people of New Mexico. The Mexican gray wolf is a species that, perhaps more than any other, has highlighted the political obstacles involved in recovery, or in this case, reintroduction. At last count, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reported a total of 58 Mexican gray wolves surviving in the wild. And while that's definitely an improvement from where they started, not everyone is impressed. In March, a group of community members and environmentalists gathered in front of the federal building in downtown Albuquerque, demanding the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service release more wolves into the wild. Emotions were high that day, and it's clear these people are passionate about saving the native wolf population. Wild Earth Guardians Brian Bird explains why.
The wolves were here originally, before us, so they belong here, and we extirpated them for industrial purposes, and now it's time to make that wrong right.
By industrial purposes, he's referring to the livestock industry. In the early 1900s, the wolves were intentionally removed from the landscape here to make the area more cattle-friendly. And since the beginning of the wolf release program in the 90s, cows and their people have become the wolves' biggest obstacle. For obvious reasons, the livestock industry disagrees. Karen Cowan is with the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association.
I didn't make the decision that they ought to be gone, but to try to force them, to shoehorn them back in at this point in time simply doesn't make sense. The fact is that we've had members go out of business, sell their ranches, and move on because of losses due to these wolves.
Because in today's market, losing a steer is going to hurt a little.
It's like somebody coming and taking $1,000 out of your bank account.
But Cowan says the most frustrating thing about the Mexican gray wolf recovery program is that
ranchers were left out of the discussion when the program was created. There's never been a voice. There's never been an acceptance of the wide variety of losses that are caused.
As this battle rages, the Fish and Wildlife Service is caught in the middle. Spokeswoman Charnel Lefton.
We want to make sure that the wolves can successfully propagate and become a wild population that can live in harmony with a working landscape.
But figuring out exactly what a working landscape that includes wolves will look like is the million-dollar question. Sherry Barrett, head of the Fish and Wildlife's wolf program, is quick to point out that they are getting close.
What we're finding from studies out in the field is that 80% of the diet of wolves is elk. And so it is a smaller part that is livestock or other species.
But that 20% continues to add fuel to this fire. The Mexican gray wolf has a special designation under the Endangered Species Act as an experimental, non-essential population, giving Fish and Wildlife some flexibility in dealing with reintroduction issues. Center for Biological Diversity's Michael Robinson.
The theory behind that was that people who were opposed to the wolves would become less opposed to them, and that would benefit the recovery.
But really, that just hasn't happened. And meanwhile, Robinson says Fish and Wildlife now has the authority to interfere with wolves' lives in ways they couldn't under a regular listing. For instance, Robinson can point to several examples of wolves being moved sometimes more than once after straying from the designated recovery area.
Scientists have pointed out that wolves can't read maps written by politicians, that they don't know when they've crossed an invisible line from Gila National Forest to Bureau of Land Management public lands, for example, that would require the government to remove them.
There are some less extreme measures being explored, though, like conditioned taste aversion, which involves feeding wolves tainted cow meat. The idea is that by making them sick enough, they won't see beef as a good food source. But Robinson and other environmentalists insist that we should be focusing more on changing human habits instead of manipulating the wolves. That's an approach that's been working pretty well for rancher Wilma Jenkins of the Double Circle Ranch in Clifton, Arizona, smack in the middle of wolf country.
Ranchers aren't opposed to the wolf. They're opposed to losing money. But there are ranchers like myself who have reduced their kills to just about nothing through their management practices.
For her, that's spending more time out in the field, watching and managing her cows.
It would be easier to take, like, government payoff for every wolf kill than it would be to go out there and actually herd. But in my opinion, it's money that doesn't solve the problem. It would be more effective to solve the problem of wolf predators than it would be to just keep paying for losses.
That may seem a surprisingly center-of-the-road approach to an issue that's usually portrayed as strictly two-sided. But caretakers of the Endangered Species Act would say the strength of the act lies in its ability to bring people together. On the Conservation Beat, I'm Carrie Young, KUNM.